gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds.
Welcome to the Geek Out Heroes. This is Virgo.
This is Josiah.
Miles.
Anderson.
Not a whole lot's happened this week, but I do want to bring up one thing that we saw, and it was pretty hysterical to me. Nintendo is now investing in giving kids cardboard boxes to play with.
Get back in our 80s kids touch.
Yeah, like, hey, all for it, Nintendo, but you want to charge $80 for cardboard.
It's genius. It really is.
Yeah. Cardboard, you know, if it was like, you know, how to build cardboard forts using your Switch, so you have something to play your Switch in, other than your house or in the car. I don't know. Nintendo, is it Labo?
Yeah, Labo. I think it's supposed to be Labo.
Lab Zero.
Labo.
Labrador.
Stupid name. Well, anybody's going to be able to sell cardboard.
Lobotomy.
To idiots, it's going to be Nintendo.
Waiting for Nintendo fanboys to claim it's the best thing ever to happen.
Oh my god, dude. It's the funniest thing, like... People see this from Nintendo, and immediately people go to their defense of, oh, this is brilliant. No, it's not. They're making you build your own controllers with cardboard, and then using the ridiculous functions of the Switch to justify the functions of the Switch that don't need to be there, because none of your Wii games, or Wii U games, are on the fucking Switch yet, so...
And they are coming, but they're going to be as a cartridge.
Do you think the box will help with their high-definition rumble?
Well, it's not getting it 4K, so... Like, yeah, other companies are investing in new technologies and 4K and new innovation, and, like, VR. I mean, that's... We've discussed this, listeners. VR isn't where it's supposed to be, but we definitely will agree it one day will probably be the future, so we kind of have to get through all the testing and crap now. So thank you to the early adopters for pushing that technology forward, but... When you see that and you see the Switch and you're like, wow, you guys didn't even do 1080p on your system. You only have 2 hours of battery life. It's kind of like, well, 2 hours of battery life, yeah, how long of that am I going to be building my fucking cardboard controller?
I mean, that was one of our complaints early on, was the size of the controller. So I guess the way for them to fix that is to make it bigger with cardboard.
make the controllers with cardboard.
It's like giving a body kit.
Build around it.
The controllers are crazy things, like, you know, giving a kid, like, essentially a cardboard backpack and attaching string to a controller and him moving around like he's a robot, with this, you know, having to look at his TV screen while he's playing a game. I'm like, this seems just like a waste of money. Like, just a waste of money and time. For anyone, so and asking $80 for a video game with these cardboard controllers, it just seems like lunacy. Like,
well, Nintendo... I heard if you buy 30 boxes of Lucky Charms and just slit the cardboard, you can actually make it yourself.
Plus, you get delicious cereal.
Wouldn't surprise me, but you could also save yourself money and not do that at all, and just go to a U-Haul and get old boxes.
But the downside with that is you don't get cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah. No sure. Marshmallow magic there.
There's no there's no sugar rush to fuel your rage as you build these. So like I get it. A lot of people are just like, oh well, you know, it's not for hardcore gamers. It's for kids. But no this shit. Goes right back to the problem that Nintendo has had for the longest time. Nintendo, you need to realize kids don't have money. Adults do. We're the ones that are going to give you money for games, not children. So when a kid's bugging his parents for a Labo and the parents are looking at going, this is fucking stupid, you're going to break this in like 2 seconds. And I'm going to have to build it for you in the first place because you're too dumb to make this. It just seems like a...
You must have met my niece.
It seems like a really dumb, like dumb idea and dumb investment. I don't see how this is going to work out. I feel like this is going to go the way of the Virtual Boy.
Yeah.
For Nintendo.
Except it won't leave you as many headaches.
Yeah, it won't leave you as many headaches for kids. It'll give you many headaches.
I wonder how many cardboard cut lawsuits they'll have to file.
Nintendo is not responsible for stupidity. That includes their own.
It's like the caution hot coffee all over again.
Yeah, I don't understand how Nintendo gets away with this. Sony and Microsoft, if they introduce anything like this, they get crucified.
I'm pretty sure Sony and Microsoft releases it would have been April Fool's.
Well, no, I mean, like, look at developers. You have, like, Ubisoft, who tried to release that stupid laser tag game.
Oh, yeah.
They got crucified by the gaming community. And not just older gamers, younger gamers are like, this is dumb. Like, why is this even a thing for your company? Nintendo's like, oh, we got cardboard boxes where you can curate your own controllers using cardboard. And nobody freaks out over it? Like, come on, guys. Remove the Nintendo fucking drugs from your system and wake up. Nintendo is not doing what they need to be doing for gamers. For themselves. Shit. Fucking A. Like, we said the moment we saw the motion controllers for the Switch, like, oh, wow, they could easily do Wii U games and Wii games on the Switch as well. So why aren't those all being ported over? Nope, we're going to invest our time in cardboard.
Maybe this is just their new plan for all their accessories that they fail to keep up to stock with. It's like, well, we're not going to make them, so here's the material.
Yeah, that's the other thing I have to ask is, you know, with these pre-made models and stuff like that, you don't have to cut them out. You just kind of have to push them out of the die cuts. So, if you break one, do you have to pay $80 to replace the cardboard? That's fucking crazy. Because the $80 is like, oh, well, it's the cardboard model kit that you put together and the video game that accompanies it. And I'm like, well, regardless of the fact that it still sounds stupid, when you're only selling the cardboard with the video game, how are people replacing anything that they break?
I mean, on the one hand, Nintendo has really good customer service, so I'd imagine if you send them a picture and just say, hey, this was broken, they'd probably send you another one. And on the other hand,
we should point this out, Nintendo of America has really good customer service.
Yes.
We can't vouch for anyone else outside of the United States.
And then on the other hand, I also feel like they'd be like, oh, that sucks, buy another one.
Yeah.
Well, because Nintendo accessories, gotta craft them all.
it completely boggles my mind when I see shit like that. Like, they're like, Nintendo comes out with innovative things. I'm like, and yet, do they?
Yeah, one of our friends asked if what we thought about it. I was like, it's cool if I was six.
Yeah. If I was a child. Yeah,
my response was, my brain hurts.
If I was a parent, the first thing I'd be saying, the first thing I'd be thinking is, no, you can't have that because you're a child. Well, we can go to Home Depot. I will buy you boxes.
I'll buy you more boxes.
You a robot body of boxes. But you cannot have $80 of a single box to play a game that you'll play maybe twice. Just freaking dumb. And I saw the little piano thing, and I was like, that's even dumber than like anything else you guys have shown off. Because, well, I mean, so I'm gonna sit down there and I'm gonna be fucking Schroeder, freaking Peanuts. So, yeah. I mean, what the fuck? So, yeah, Nintendo, that's all we got for you. Like, what the hell? What are you guys doing? It, like, I can only think that they sat there and they're like, well, there's no way with a Switch alone can hit the levels of money that we made from the Nintendo Wii and the 3DS when it came out. And since we're backing off the 3DS slowly and switching over to everything going to be on the Switch eventually, I'm assuming that's what they're going to do. Because it makes sense to be a one universal system rather than having two ecosystems having to work with each other.
Or so focusing on, you know, adding your virtual console library to the Switch.
So I don't understand, like, I can only assume that they're going, well, we have to try and come up with something else that's going to make us a little bit extra coin on the side while we make that transition. So maybe this is it? You know, cardboard controllers is the solution? And you can have them recycled? It doesn't, you know, doesn't require a bunch of children sitting out in a field pulling apart the metal and plastic. Thanks, by the way, China. So, so the next thing I wanted to bring up was PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds and Fortnite. So Fortnite was a little bit of a disappointment last year because Fortnite went from being what we thought it was going to be, which was like, you know, basically fortress building and going through a story and having to go out, get supplies, come back, and create a better battlement to survive the elements. But it didn't turn out to be that way. It ended up turning out to be another battle royale like Battlegrounds. And what's funny to me is the fact that Battlegrounds and Fortnite are both trying to, I guess, own the genre of
Hunger Games.
Of Hunger Games. And it's interesting to me because they've made the statement, and I don't think they've done any legal action to do it, but they kind of feel they've made the statement insinuating that they had the ideas first. And I think that's laughable because there have been plenty of games in the past that have had this idea way before they ever existed. One of them being Arma 2's mod, which was DayZ on the PC, which was a much bigger environment than the PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and was a much more created much more hilarious instances.
It was also a much scarier place.
Yeah,
and not and zombies.
No, not even that. Just encountering other people.
Yeah, not knowing who you could trust. But
and no one.
No one. Yeah. So I just thought that was funny that they're trying to say that they've created this genre. And they haven't. Modders were doing this way before they were. Do you think that's right for them to sit there and be like, "Well, we made this genre"?
Of course not.
Seems kind of ludicrous. So, I still won't play PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. I've seen most of that game in community, and most of it's made up of Call of Duty, so won't ever do it.
Nope.
I think we were talking about this the other day.
It's a really intriguing idea. I like it.
If I was awarded a free copy, I would probably play it. But there's no way in hell I'm ever putting money into it.
Yeah, especially not the console version.
Yeah.
But I think we were talking about this the other day, how the Call of Duty fan base kind of went away from Call of Duty.
Yeah, they kind of, after Call of Duty had so many hard times, they kind of dispersed into other areas.
I feel like they're starting to recongregate around this game.
Yeah, definitely.
So, that's enough for me to stay away from it.
Yeah, I watched a guy play one time, and he was basically exhibiting the same amount of rage that I've seen come out of Dota.
Nah, yeah.
Yeah. Out of fucking Dota. I'm like, all right, well, sweet. I look forward to being called if I were to play it, I'd look forward to being called, you know, a fag, how many times they've screwed my mom, telling me to get good, and all that bullshit. So, sweet. Sounds like a really good community to be a part of.
Yeah, it seems like they're almost as bad as League of Legends fans.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in the fact that Epic Games, I mean, like, they make some pretty good games, and we can all say that they've made some really good games. But to see them completely do this U-turn with Fortnite and turn it into what we had seen for years in their demos and their gameplay, and turn around and completely make it into this, well, it's a player versus our PvP system. Wait, that's right. Not what you guys showed off for the longest time. Why is it suddenly a PvP?
I've brought that up a couple times now that I lost interest in playing, mostly because they turned away from their PvE system.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't really go into it again at all.
Yeah. I think it's definitely one of those things where they saw what was happening with PlayerUnknown and seeing other successful esports, primarily like Overwatch and stuff like that, and thinking, how can we capitalize on this? How can we do the same thing to make sure that our game continues to go and that the only, you know, the thing that makes it grow is the PvP system? Not to bag on the fact that they were looking at it from a marketing standpoint of how long can we make our game last, but it bugs me when I see good developers like that kind of
take the easy route
of, well, we don't want to create epic store or, you know, incredible stories. We don't want to do this. We want to just make the buck. And that's kind of how I feel like, that's what I feel like Overwatch became. It went from being a MMO to a shooter, and the same thing's happening to Fortnite. Fortnite went from being this big open areas and going from one, you know, it was originally like what we had seen was your buddies would be in the same areas with you and you'd all build your own forts and you could go and protect each other and build up things together and you'd be going through the story with one another, and it didn't turn into that. It didn't continue that at all.
No.
Which was awesome originally.
Yeah.
Because I was building some ridiculous ass forts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
It's not fun. It's just, you know, they stopped doing anything with it, so it's not going to turn into anything that we wanted it to be.
Which is really sad, because I know Miles, both of us, invested into this game when it was coming out.
Yeah.
And then they took a dump on us.
So,
EA Junior.
Anyways, that leads me to kind of the state of gaming for where we see things going in 2018. So 2017 had a lot of weird crap go on in it. I mean, we had the craziest shit between Fortnite changing over their strategy. We had, you know, EA's ridiculous shit of microtransactions and loot crates. But one of the things I wanted to bring up is the insanity that is Star Citizen. Star Citizen, like, listeners, we hadn't had a chance to talk about this sooner, but when you guys might remember the trailer for it originally. It was supposed to be like this open galaxy and stuff like that, and you'd create your own homesteads.
You have had to talk me out of this game 4 times.
Yeah, and I mean it sounds awesome when you see the concept behind it and what they want to do with it. But they had recent news that they came out and they said, you know, basically people could. The game is in alpha. It's not even in beta yet, and you could buy in microtransaction a virtual land claim in the game. This would be it's the equivalent of people selling you land on the moon, essentially. We'll never go back there, but you know, here, you know, you own land on there. You can start your own farm.
Is this the beginning of the Oasis?
So, no. If it were, that would make more sense. But since Star Citizen is not VR, as of yet, it makes no sense. This is like the biggest blatant ripoff I have seen coming from a company ever. And that's, you know, to come out and say, oh, well, you know, here's a microtransaction you can pay for now when the game's not even out. But you can pay for a land claim in the game for when it does come out. Never mind the fact that, oh, by the way, we're also in serious danger of not ever having this game released. So there's no refund for your money.
And then especially given that, like, to unlock ships. Now, I may be confused. I think this is the one you've had to talk me out of. Because it was either this or Elite Dangerous. I know both are kind of in the same situation where they're, like, haven't officially released yet.
Elite Dangerous? Elite Dangerous is out.
Maybe I am thinking of Star Citizen, because I know you can go, like, on their website and look at how, like, you can pre-buy ships.
Yeah.
And they're, like, $200 a piece.
I think so.
And this is the one, yeah, this is the one I've had to have you talk me out of several times, because I want to be Han Solo. I feel like that game will let me be Han Solo, but it's going to cost me, like, $1,000.
Yeah, you want it to, but, I mean, the game's not even out. It leads me to the question of, like, what the hell does 2018 look like? I mean, can we expect, like, really good quality games to continue to come out? Or, like, are you guys expecting every time a game to come out to be flooded with microtransactions or some ridiculous scheme to try and get more money out of us?
I think we can always count on, you know, certain cornerstone games to be good still. Like, I have no doubts about the next God of War, for example.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man's going to be good.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man looks really good. I think we're safe on most of our first parties.
I think CFDs will be fine.
It's when it comes down to new IPs, that's when it becomes really questionable. Which, yeah. I mean, generally speaking, with a new IP, you're always kind of taking a gamble on it anyways, because there's nothing to base it off of other than what you see. You know, you don't get that legacy kind of resume with the game. So I think it's going to really just be more of the same. We're going to get games that are fucking wonky or games that, you know, just try to drain us fucking dry, but we're still going to have our cornerstone games that they're not going to really fuck around with too bad.
Okay.
The only first-party game I can say I'm really concerned about is Red Dead 2.
I can see that.
But yeah, that's only because
the amount of money they've asked for GTA and playing online.
Because Rockstar entirely abandoned their plan for single-player DLC because people were buying shark cards for GTA Online. Which, I mean, I'll admit, I'm guilty. I bought them.
Yeah.
But I honestly feel like what are we going to lose because Rockstar knows they can make, you know, 10, 20 bucks off of us for their multiplayer.
Yeah, in the same token, though, think about how much multiplayer DLC that they released that they didn't charge anything for.
And that's why I don't feel entirely guilty about having bought shark cards.
I will say that's true, Miles, but there is also the fact that a lot of that DLC required that you had a certain amount of money in your bank account in the game.
Oh, yeah. In order to I'm not saying it's not baiting you to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things of, you know, they used a little bit of that freemium planning of, you could work, you know, for 24 hours a day on this and finally get what you need, or you could pay $20 and get what you want right away. It's not necessarily shady, but it is definitely, you know, you can definitely see this is the money incentive of why they continue to do that. And it does make me sit there and be a little concerned for Red Dead Redemption of, you know, well, Red Dead Redemption 1, you know, the last one we had a great DLC campaign that came out that was, you know, freaking awesome. It's one of the few times that I actually was like, all right, well, I'll go back and kill zombies.
It made zombies fun.
Because it made zombies fun, and it was the first time, you know, one of the first times I've ever seen zombies in the Old West. That's freaking badass.
But you feel bad for killing the Bigfoot.
God damn it.
Killing the chupacabra and all that other shit.
Or dealing with the four
horsemen. Yeah, that was badass. So it makes me a little worried for the sequel when GTA 5 had that success on online. It makes me wonder, is Red Dead Redemption 2 going to end up doing the same thing and they're just going to abandon any single player projects they had on the side? Because originally there was supposed to be an entire single player campaign around, what's his name, the worst of the worst in 5.
Oh, Trevor.
Trevor, yeah.
It was supposed worst of the worst, he's the greatest.
there was supposed to be an entire DLC campaign around Trevor, and they ended up sort of introducing a little bit of that into the multiplayer, rather than having it be a complete single player on its own. But it was, at the same time, that was a little disappointing to find out that, oh, I have to do this in the multiplayer, I can't just, there's not like an actual DLC missions where I can play as him and find out what the fuck happened to him while he thought Michael was dead. The only other thing I'm worried about is with the success that's going on with esports is the more and more people see those successes, how many of the developers out there that have been working on single player games like Wolfenstein, how many of those are going to turn around and just decide to go with esports the next time around instead of sticking with a single player campaign? Wolfenstein 2 is a great game and it didn't do very well apparently in sales. It's been criticized by gamers for like what is beyond Josiah's and I's comprehension because it's a great game. It's a lot of fun. It's a well done campaign, but it didn't do very well. Other games like as much as I don't like Prey and Dishonored, they do get critical acclaim. I mean, a lot of critics love those two games. So my judgment aside, they still didn't, regardless of how much hype they got, they still didn't sell very well. So you see these things and you're like, well, you know, what if other developers are seeing, well, Prey was critically acclaimed, it's gotten all these great things, and yet it didn't sell very well. Same thing went for Dishonored 2. Critically acclaimed, didn't sell very well. Not even its DLC sequel that ended up turning into its own kind of release. you know, Wolfenstein 2, which the first one came out and had two phenomenal critical acclaim and great sales, and people have talked about how great it was to kill Nazis again, and the sequel comes out, and people are just, oh, this is old hat again.
Which is funny, because the sequel, to me, was head and shoulders above the first one.
Yeah. It came out, critics loved it, and gamers were like, oh, well, you know, it's just the same thing over again, I'm not going to play this. So they didn't
buy it.
Which
I'm really looking forward to when I start playing, because somebody said it's pretty much Frankenstein's army.
Dude, it's so good. It's just awesome. But, you know, a lot of people just don't want to buy it, apparently. So it makes me a little worried for the future of how our games are going to go. Of are they going to start looking at this and be like, well, you know what? We could just come up with our own Overwatch.
And see, it gets me concerned because more and more lately I've been seeing like friends on my Facebook saying like, oh, I'm thinking about starting a gaming Twitch account.
Yeah.
So people could just watch me broadcast online.
And you know, what's really funny is you say that, and the amount of gamers... So the majority of gamers are in our demographic, which is... between about 28 to 35, which is that's the biggest amount of gaming culture right now. So, and you know, as I get older, that's going to continue to go up in age, because one of the lowest is under 25, because they're not playing video games; they're watching other people play video games, and it's really weird.
I was thinking of the episode of South Park.
Yeah, I was going to say, it just kind of reminds me of that episode of South
Park. No, I find it very weird. One of my female friends was telling me, like, she was like, I was talking to her, like, I was getting into this game. She's like, I can't watch you play it. I'm like, no. Like, part of the thing of gaming is you do it yourself.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind talking to somebody, like, I don't understand what you're talking about. I'm like, experiencing life, real or virtual.
Yeah. like, I understand it when, like, people, like, you know, my parents' age, that don't play a lot of video games and or feel like they can't, you know, my dad can't play Uncharted. He feels like it's just out of his realm. So they love watching me play Uncharted. I get that. I don't understand the younger demographic that's capable of learning how to play a video game and won't.
I think the only time I'm ever cool with watching is when it's something that we can sit there and it's almost like experiencing a movie. Oh, what was that? Until Dawn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was great to just sit there and fucking watch you play and just do social commentary on it.
Yeah, social commentary, like, you know, riffing on it and joking around and giving our own, you know, yeah, giving our own tidbits into it. That's different versus people who don't want to go play Mario and stuff like that, or don't want to go play, you know, Call of Duty. They'll go watch somebody else play Call of Duty.
They don't want
to
play it.
Yeah, and that's just weird to me. You'd rather go and watch, PewDiePie or somebody else play these games. Like, don't get me wrong, listeners. I've watched plenty of Let's Plays on Achievement Hunter. I've watched plenty of Let's Plays with, you know, tons of other gamers online. But I play a lot of the video games they play. And if I don't, it's because it's a game that I don't have a real interest in playing myself. But it's really funny to see their reactions to certain video games, like, the Slender Man, you know, Slender Man Arrival. I loved the Slender Man independent release that was, you know, out on PC for free. I heard Arrival wasn't very good, but I wanted to watch some of the guys that freak out over scary things online play it, because it was funny to watch the reactions. But a lot of the stuff that I've watched on Twitch and stuff like that, it's not very entertaining. It's just literally watching people play, you know, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. I'm like, what is the entertainment of this? Like, you guys most of them aren't funny, most of them aren't very entertaining, but they have, like, thousands and thousands of views. And I watch that and I go, well, they can get thousands and thousands of views doing crap, but no one listens to our fucking podcast? So, yeah, that was just one thing I wanted to bring up for 2018, was just, you know, what's going to happen, like, from here on out.
Well, I mean, I can only speak for myself on this one. A lot of the games I was looking forward to last year got pushed into this year.
Right.
So I've actually got pretty high hopes for 2018.
At least for the Corner Store game. You know, the games that we know that probably will be good.
Yeah,
like Ace Combat's going to be good.
Establish Series is just, like Miles said, it's the smaller IPs that we're concerned about.
I don't play that game for multiplayer.
No, I'm just going to say, until they introduce, like, loot crates, like, oh, do you want an A10 tank killer? Sorry, you can't have that unless you pay, like, $10.
Oh. I'm sad.
Like that's
otherwise,
that's
all you get is a ratchet.
That's actually something that I like. Oh, man, I'm half tempted not to bring it up on the podcast. But anyways, Ace Combat could easily fall into the same shtick that a lot of PC flying games have run into now, where the way that they make more money is by adding more planes,
and they'll sell them to you later.
They'll sell them to you later.
They actually did that with Ace Combat 6.
Yeah,
they had. Now, granted, they didn't put them out until a month or two after the game was out already. So I will give them credit for that, but they did have, you know, alternate paint jobs and stuff that you could buy.
Okay.
But none of them were necessary for playing the game. It was all like, here, do you want this, you know, paint job from, you know... the big one is they sold paint jobs from Ace Combat 4.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of them were like $2 or $3. So, you know, I mean, it was another one of those. I was like, yeah, do I need it? No. Do I have $3 that I can spend on something that's kind of cool? Sure.
The way that PCs have done it is that they'll give you the initial game basically for free. Usually comes like 4 or 5, like, usually not very great planes. But the simulator's free.
Kind of a World of Tanks kind of setup.
Kind of, yeah. And then you buy the extra planes that they release. And they're usually about $15 a piece. But if you calculate, like, all the things, like, all of them that you can buy, it's usually, like, $1,000, like, total. It's insane. So I sat there, I sit down, and I'm like, you know, they could easily do the same thing with Ace Combat. Only in Ace Combat situation, they'll probably make you pay $60 first.
I don't know.
And then they'll sell you this stuff for $15 a pop.
I already know going into it that they're going to sell
me... Capcom with Street Fighter.
Buy half of the roster. You want some iconic characters? Pay for them.
Pay for them.
You know what pissed me off? Is I found out that characters like Blanka are paid DLC now.
Jesus.
Yeah. No joke.
Street Fighter's gotten down the shitter.
Well, I would imagine so. I mean...
Four was crap. And five...
I could have told you that
like
after two.
Don't even look at it.
When they came
it's
out
garbage.
with Turbo, then Super Turbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Capcom's gonna sell me all of those for $40 again later this year. So.
Yeah, the Ultimate Editions. You also got.
Yeah.
The EX Editions.
The thing with Ace Combat is I'm going into it knowing that they're gonna sell me planes later. So, as long as they're not too expensive,
The odd thing that I found is that with everything that's been going on from 2017 and all the microtransactions, all the esports bullshit, it has actually forced me to start looking more and more at indie developers who seem to be like developers who have come from other studios come together and just say, let's just do what we want to do because we have creative freedom by ourselves.
Which, yeah, it's kind of put me on my PC more often.
Yeah.
It's because I'm either playing older games that have already been out for years, or anything newer is, yeah, typically from, like, an indie developer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how indie they are. I just bought a game off Steam called Northgard.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a, you know, town building... Whatever, it's kind of hard to explain. I only played a couple hours of it, but I mean, it's already better than most shit I bought last year, and I paid $15.
It's how you end up with these like really great gems. I mean, look at Hellblade. Hellblade was created by the same studio that made Heavenly Sword, but it literally was basically the studio had cut down everything. Like they had to get rid of like all of their developers. They ended up with like this small little essentially what would count as an indie developer. You know, I think it's made of like 20 people max. And they started making this game and they created a game that's triple A quality, that's, you know, of triple A quality. And it kind of made me sit there and go, wow, this is kind of what happens when a developer is just kind of let go and just says, you know, do what you want. Which we rarely see nowadays because the publishers kind of squash them a lot. Unless they're really first party, you know, you have Microsoft with Halo and, the things with Halo 5, I think that's kind of, 343's fault, not really Microsoft calling the shots on that. I think 343 lost their focus, but, you have things like, you know, Cuphead, Microsoft, you know, you have Hellblade, who's on Sony's side, and you have Sony, who also treats their bigger first parties with the same kind of thing of, like, we trust you, we're still going to oversee some of the projects because they are really protective of their brand, you know, of their brands, obviously, but they kind of let their developers do what they want to do in order to create a game. I'll use God of War for an instance. God of War, the newest one that's coming out, Sony and Santa Monica were heavily against making another God of War. Like, it was crazy. A lot of people kept thinking, oh, there's definitely going to come out with it. No, for years, apparently, they sat there saying, no, we're not going to make another one. We don't want to do it. The creative director had to approach them and give multiple presentations and multiple pitches to try and sell them on the idea of, we can do this. We just need to change the gameplay and change the way that God of War is perceived by the gamers. And they didn't want to have it. They were just like, no, you know, we don't want to do this. I think it was like after their third or fourth presentation, he finally got through to them, like, we can take it in this direction and it'll work. And they kind of let loose and said, okay, show us. Let's show us what you can do. Show us what you're thinking of. This is what we end up with. A developer that's kind of let loose and says, you know, create some of the craziest shit you can, and a game goes from being what was originally planned to be a 10-hour game to a 20-plus-hour game, and has turned God of War into what was just a smash and slash through levels to this almost what I can only describe as a open, you know, more of an open world Assassin's Creed-ish kind of game.
And so, you know, perhaps this is what the new life cycle of game companies is going to wind up being. We're going to see a lot of our traditional game developers just kind of wean off and die, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the ashes of that, we get kind of something that we used to get. I mean, it's the same thing with what happened with Rare and the six-guy team that made Yooka-Laylee.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie. So, I mean, maybe this is what's going to be kind of the normal thing now.
Yeah, I mean, aside from when a large publisher decides to crush a developer like EA did with Visceral, I'll try to keep a little bit more of an open mind when a studio decides to shut down and spread out. So I hear about some of the projects that are coming together from the guys who used to be part of the BioShock series. And after they closed down and became smaller teams, it was unfortunate to see so many developers lose their jobs, but a lot of those guys went off and started doing their own projects. And some of the stuff that we're seeing from them is crazy. And, you know, looks like they're really trying to open up and be a little more creative than they've been allowed to. It's kind of like what happened with, when BioWare was their own independent, we got incredible games from them. We had, you know, Knights of the Republic that came out. And two was rushed. Two was rushed by the publisher.
And it still was good.
And that was where it was interfered with. But we, you know, when they were kind of let loose, we ended up with Mass Effect. We got Mass Effect 2, and a lot of people say, well, that was EA 2. But EA didn't own them until they were almost finished with the fucking game.
And they were just a publisher.
And they were just a publisher at the time, so...
And it's too early to say, but you could say the same thing with Konami and Hideo Kojima. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, sort of the death of Konami in all reality. And, you know, the ashes from it, you know, rises Hideo Kojima's company. So hopefully everything he makes is fucking golden. So
yeah, I mean, so, like, he leaves Konami and Sony shows up with, like, here's all the money we have. What do you want? Like,
as sad as I am, we're not getting more Metal Gear. I'm really excited to see what he's going to come up with. Death Stranding yeah. looks good, and whatever. And I've said this before. I'm sure I'll say it again. Whatever he makes is an automatic buy.
Yeah, he makes good quality games.
Yeah, it's every one of his games that I've ever played has been worth every penny I paid for. Yeah. And I mean, I can even say that for 5, like. Even with how that game ended, it was still worth my time.
Yeah.
I put a ton of time into that game.
I guess my next question is, based off of this conversation and us talking about, you know, companies rising from the ashes and creating something new, or taking a franchise and being able to revitalize it into something new, Are there any current franchises you would like to see this happen to that have kind of fallen by the wayside or are starting to become the lackluster?
Telltale.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't played 4, but I would like to see Gears of War get good again.
4 was fun.
4 was still Gears of War, but I would have to agree. I feel like that is a series that needs to have its collapse, which in my opinion, 4 was kind of its collapse, and be brought back up into something that is truly unique and truly good. And if that meant like a completely different kind of gameplay, that might be what has to happen. I'd be okay with it not being called, and I'd be okay with a sequel, a next game not being called Gears of War, but being in that same universe.
Like, you know what surprised me, and this is what I was discussing with somebody, is why don't they make a prequel?
Yeah, they actually show the shit that took place before.
They have enough established lore that they could have a game set during the Pendulum Wars.
Yeah.
That would just be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I'd play the hell out of it. So I don't know why they haven't done that yet.
Yeah, yeah. Play the mission that first got the invention of the Lancer.
Right. That'd be pretty dope.
Because I love my Lancer.
I'd say Mass Effect has had its collapse. I've still got my fingers crossed for that new one that they're doing, but
I am seriously hoping that they create another Mass Effect, and if they do, I hope they give it to a team that deserves it. They're not going to be dictated by EA on using a fucking stupid Frostbite engine, and I think it would be very symbolic and fun to have a Mass Effect called Mass Effect Phoenix Rising or something.
Assassin's Creed
is definitely one of them. We've talked about this multiple times, listeners, on the fact that Assassin's Creed Origins
been dying off.
Was not a real Assassin's Creed, and
I'm still playing it, and I can tell you I still don't feel like an assassin.
Yeah, would have liked it to have been called something different. And I feel like that series needs to really go a completely different direction.
Far Cry.
Yeah, I'd like to see Far Cry have the same thing. I feel like Far Cry is just, they're making the same game over and over again.
See, I'm still with the idea that, what if Far Cry just stopped being Far Cry and they made, a Predators game planet, style game.
Yeah.
Like, that would be fucking badass.
less boss level hard, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could play as a human character and have it as a horror game.
That would work. If you played Ghost Recon with us, that would work.
I mean, if you guys want a game where you'll hear me, squeal and piss myself, then yeah, let's play.
Yeah, I feel like that's the same way for Ghost Recon. I feel the same way with Watch Dogs. Although two is better than the first one, it still isn't great. There's a lot of games out there that deserve something better than what they've been getting. So we'll see. I'd like to see Guerrilla Games come back, because the last Killzone was great. I'd like to see them do another Killzone and really step it up with that.
Unless this is going to take away from us getting more Horizon Zero Dawn. Because don't get me wrong, I would love more Killzone, but if the cost is less Horizon, I think I'll take the...
Well, the reason why I say that is because Guerrilla Games, I guess their studio is like almost twice the size as it was when they finished
Horizon. So they could probably do both.
That's why I'm thinking they could probably easily do both.
Probably get it with Uncharted. It's pretty much fulfilled its timeline naturally and well. That it could break off and start doing its own thing, like follow the daughter or something along those lines.
Well, it's like
it could follow different characters. We talked about the fact of Lost Legacy easily opened up the fact of you could have the three main characters, Chloe and Nadine and Sam, go off and do their own thing.
Or go further back and play Drake's mom.
Indiana Drake.
Yeah,
there's a lot of series that this could happen to. I mean, look at what happened with Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider was so down in the dumps, like they had just some completely destroyed that series for so long.
Some of the actual worst games I've ever played.
And I don't get me wrong, I was a fan for a long time, but the games just weren't getting, they weren't moving with the current times, and you had Uncharted that came out, and Uncharted was just destroying it. And then they finally they revamp it and revitalize the series and create something new out of it. So, yeah, it would be nice to see developers finally be given, you know, the free reins of, like, do what you need to do, show us what you have, and we'll talk about whether or not this speaks well to the brand after you show us. Whereas, you know, EA took Visceral and was like, ah, you know what, this isn't going to make us billions of dollars through loot crates or, you know, give us the Overwatch money, so we're gonna kill this right now because it's, while it looks a good game, like a good game, no one plays single player games anymore. So that's what initially prompted my question of what's gonna happen with games from here on out. When I see publishers sitting there and analyzing this shit and going, well, that doesn't make us, you know, this kind of money. That doesn't make us this kind of money.
That's not Ultimate Team, bro.
Yeah, looking at things the same way that Warner Brothers looks at Marvel movies and goes, well, our DC movies aren't making Marvel money, so we're just going to stop doing this entirely.
Dead Rising. You know, it's kind of run its course. It's fun. And the last one wasn't bad by any means, but, I mean, you don't really have anywhere else to truly go with it.
Yeah.
Resident Evil, they still haven't reinvented it.
Oh, no, they did.
It wasn't very good. That's Biohazard.
It was good, but it just wasn't. It wasn't Resident Evil. like Resident Evil was one of those things that, like, it was so confusing because they, you know, they wanted to call it Resident Evil, but they also wanted to call it Resident Evil 7, and it doesn't really belong in the Resident Evil series. And I, like, when you put it that way, and the fact that when we look at the fact that it's been that yes, it's one of those games that's been revitalized. If they had just called it Resident Evil and left it as a reboot of the series, I think I could probably be a little more appreciative of it, to be honest.
Right.
Of them saying, you know what, it's completely new. We're restarting the series. We're just calling it Resident Evil. Anyways, that's all I have for this week. Miles, do you have anything, or Anderson?
Oh no? Yeah.
Yeah, you? Okay, go for it.
So speaking of games, Fox Next Level Games, Fox Interactive, announced, because they kept all that part of Fox didn't get spin and sell off, their video game side.
Yeah.
So they came out and announced that they are beginning production of the next Aliens game. They said they're going to give it over to Cold Iron Studios, who also said they were...
So really, really quick, does this fall under Fox Entertainment as well?
No, with Disney. Fox Interactive.
I know, but does that fall under the Fox Entertainment stuff? With
no, negative. They already said Fox had anything to do with this particular franchise, that that development or that department of their company.
Yeah,
they did not put up at all.
Okay,
all right. Let's go Colonial Marine, but good this time.
So that's why we got to.
Let's go Colonial Marines. Only more like the trailer, less like the game.
So what they came out is they're giving over to a studio, Cold Iron Studios. And Cold Iron Studios says they've picked up talents from the Borderlands team, the Doom team, Metroid Prime 3 team, BioShock team, all those. They plan on making a first-person shooter that takes place in the Alien universe that has nothing to do with any of the movies or games that have come out so far. And that's all they announced, which kind of gave me a little more hope. I was like, I am looking forward to another Aliens game that has nothing to do with what we've seen so far.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing it. I'd love to see an attempt at making a better Aliens game. Isolation was a great attempt. Too bad they had too much other crap in it that didn't need to be in there.
That game literally gave me a panic attack the first time I played it. I think I called you, and then I ran into the androids.
Yeah. Yeah, the androids really do ruin that game. Yeah.
The game was so good up
androids
until then.
Androids ruin the movies right now.
Yeah, the androids have ruined the entire series. I don't believe in the I don't follow the dogma of Prometheus. I wouldn't mind seeing a Max Payne reboot or revive.
So. Now,
can we get super over the top goofy detective Max Payne like the first one? Because I liked that.
Before we go all serious,
hell, I want another true crime.
Yeah. That'd be good. Another true crime would be really good. I also wouldn't mind another L.A. Noir.
Yeah.
You could easily... Absolutely. The Noir series could easily be done, and that's the thing that drives me nuts about that is the fact that, like, the only reason they won't do it is because the first one was so expensive and didn't make a whole lot of money, unfortunately.
Because of that mocap that you used. Yeah,
which is really weird. That's the weird, really weird thing about that is the fact that the game was really expensive to make, it didn't make a whole lot of money, yet they've made three releases of it now, right? Yeah. They have the initial release, they had the complete collection release, and then they have the remaster release.
Remaster.
And it's like, how many times are you guys going to fucking release this game? You kept complaining about the fact that you didn't make any money. And now
I laughed when they came out with the remaster because I was like, that game still looks fucking great.
Yeah. Looks great even on the old old systems. Yeah, that's a series that could easily continue to have more names for it. You could have it in different locations and still call it just Noir. New York Noir, just like
fucking I'll have to have going, Louisiana.
You know, Detroit Noir. You know, that one will just be about, you know, a murder with cars. Turns out it's Christine.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Have that team do a Sherlock game.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. Especially since how bad how bad Sherlock games are.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's almost an untapped market.
Yeah. It's almost something that's never been done before. Definitely. But Anderson, you also have
I've got some the other thing I was going to talk about. On a positive note of 2017, horror movies did phenomenal.
Well, yeah, it's because we're starting to get more investment in good horror movies.
Well, I'm not just talking about theatrical, but VOD too. What was amazing is the two different announcements. One, I'm going to talk about Blumhouse, because Blumhouse did a triple talk about. Two of the franchises...
Triple talk about?
Yeah. Right. Triple that's topics.
That's a new term for us. Triple talk about.
Topics. All right, so the biggest announcement they came out with was even though I don't give a shit about both these franchises, but it was cool, was Insidious and Sinister crossover.
Again, all I can think of is The Ring and versus The Grudge.
That what they were talking about. The one that would have your interest is that a lot of people don't know that last year at San Diego Comic-Con when Tom McFarlane came out, he already announced that Blumhouse is taking over the Spawn movie.
Really?
And he's already involved in the project because they've already begun post-production.
Huh. Is that going to be a VOD or is that going to go to the
Jason Blum, the owner of Blumhouse, said he plans on making a hard-rated R for theatrical release.
Okay.
Depending on if the MPAA will allow it. So that was a big announcement on that one. And the final one is that Blumhouse has finally made a move to purchase the Friday the 13th franchise. And now if anybody pays attention to that kind of stuff like I do, the Friday the 13th franchise has been more or less been in limbo, stuck between about three different movie studios. And that's why we haven't had a movie since the last one. So, I really hope he takes it over, because at least with Blumhouse, you have somebody who is willing to invest into horror movies.
Okay.
And have a budget with it. The nice thing about Blumhouse, too, is that the owner is directly involved with the movies, and so you don't have a little more of the corporate guys having say-so in it. And so, on the outside of the other horror movie news...
I want to point out that Weinstein had a lot of interaction with his movies.
Did he? Because he wasn't touching?
He was doing a little too much touching. I think.
The other news that I was paying attention to, which was kind of creative, is watching the trailer for the new Hellraiser movie. It's being done by Gary Turncliffe, who was the writer for the first three Hellraiser movies. He was also writer for the two Candymans, Rawhead Rex and Midnight Meat Train. The reason why that's interesting, if you're a nerd, is that they all take place in the same...
It sounds like a fucking porno title. It's like
a porno title, right?
All these movies, a lot of people don't know that when Clive Barker made them, all take place in the same universe. And so Lionsgate went ahead and picked up all the rights to them, and they plan on making this all one universe.
Okay.
Because they've talked about with this new one coming out, they're
all... Because everything needs a universe, goddammit.
Well, it's never finally get some horror movie universe.
Jurassic Park universe. Kind of
does.
That is looking very promising, especially if you're a Hellraiser fan. This new movie is looking very good.
Sorry, all I can think of is, do you remember when movies used to be their own thing? Pepperidge Farm remembers. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think it's cool sometimes, you know, oh, this movie links in with this one, and then sometimes I look at it and it's like, why can't things just be their own?
Do you remember when movies had creativity and weren't penalized at the box office for having creativity? Hollywood doesn't remember.
No. Hollywood just lets pedophiles get away.
Yeah, dude, that shit is crazy. Not to get into a huge dive or anything, but fucking goddamn it.
Like, disgusting.
Hollywood,
once, but it's
get
sad.
Your shit together. You guys want to freaking tell everybody else how to fucking live? Hello?
You want to talk about the beta a little bit, or are we just going to wait until next week when the game comes out?
You want to talk? Well, we could talk about the beta a little bit, but it's... Yeah, we can make it pretty quick.
All right, Miles, you and I can go have a nap.
All right, I'll make this short.
I call Big Spoon.
I had the same views as you do, because we both had similar experiences.
It's really fucking good. It's... For a beta, it's very polished.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure they're just checking the servers. That's
yeah,
all they're doing.
It's good. I'm really
excited.
Do
I have to have been a Dragon Ball Z fan in order to like this game?
No. Do you like fighting games?
No.
No. You won't like...
Essentially...
You won't like it based on that. But if you like fighting games, you'll like this one. Because it's made by the people that did Blaze Blue.
Marvel's Capcom 2.
Yeah,
Blaze
and...
Blue. A couple of Guilty Gear developers, too.
Is this a fighting game with an actual story like Injustice, or is it a fighting game like Street Fighter that thinks it has a story and other people think it has a story, but it really doesn't?
Okay, so when I tell you, you play Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
Yes.
Go on that mindset.
So, no real
story. Is it
story,
weird to wait,
fun.
Like,
yeah,
an entire fight. Episode to do one fight move?
You mean like three episodes?
Is it turn-based?
two episodes, one really awkward episode where the old guy hits on all the young women again, and then finally you learn that special move, the death touch. To
well, first you have to die and then come back to life. Learn that move.
There's been rumors.
You have to spell it 10 times before you throw a kick.
There's rumors that Master Roshi is going to be a DLC character.
Oh,
I hope it's
so.
True. But anyways, it's
isn't that the perverted old man?
Yeah. It's gonna be a really good game. It's already really polished. The characters all play very differently. I actually got brave and took it online, and I got my ass handed to me. And here's the thing: when I can have my ass handed to me as thoroughly as I did, and still walk away and be like, "Wow, that was fun." I'm really looking forward to next week. I'm sure you guys will hear me.
Loach can verify this, but most guys say that only after sex. Because when they've had their ass handed to them that many times, they just have to think, man, it was a good thing I had that enema.
Right.
I am a bleacher.
Glad I didn't have Taco Bell.
So, yeah, I'll...
Straight through you.
I'll give it a more thorough review, but my experience with the beta was very fun.
Alright.
So, like, I mean, it's like you were saying, even as somebody who's not familiar with Dragon Ball, if you're a fighting game fan, I'm going to suggest getting this one.
Alright.
I'm going to go with Josiah. This one has potential of already getting Fighter of the Year.
Is it 2D drawn, or...?
It's 2.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And they made it very... still the feel of the anime.
Yeah, it's... People have done side-by-side comparisons to... You know, the anime versus the game, and they're very close. I can actually... I know you won't care, but, you know, I could send you some so you could see the comparisons. You can tell that they put a lot of love into this game.
Cool. All right. I think that's all we have for this week. Listeners, thank you for listening to us. We really do appreciate it. Please go on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Podbean.com if you don't like iTunes. If you do like iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes. Please go on YouTube and like and subscribe on YouTube. We do have some stuff on there, and eventually we will have other stuff. Hopefully I can get to that game from that came over from Z to do a review on. So hopefully that'll be up pretty soon. This is Margo.
This is Josiah.
Miles.
Anderson.
Keep on geeking on. We're out.
Thank you.